Je luistert naar de Welcome to Interesting Times podcast. Mijn naam is Eveline de Jonge en samen met Sis Jozip, Eveline Claire en Jonne Verhoog doe ik onderzoek naar makers uit Haagse broedplaatsen als onderdeel van het Ground Festival. Dit kunstfestival vindt op zaterdag 17 maart plaats op 3 locaties in het centrum van Den Haag, met als thema Welcome to Interesting Times. Maar is deze tijd wel zo interessant? Wij vroegen het aan Haagse makers die, de een uitgesproken, de ander meer subtiel, sociaal betrokken of politiek en activistisch te werk gaan. Uitgangspunt van het gesprek met deze makers is de door Sis geschreven tekst. Een link naar die tekst vind je terug in de beschrijving van deze podcast. Het werk van de makers die wij spreken is op zaterdag 17 maart te zien in de Gray Space in Den Haag. De laatste kunstenaar die we interviewen is Lorena Solis Bravo. Lorena vertrekt binnenkort voor een residentie van 3 maanden naar Zuid-Korea, waarvoor ze ook haar atelier heeft opgezegd. We treffen elkaar daarom bij Sis thuis, waar we praten over het effect van internet en iPhones en het boek dat Lorena daarover schreef. En did you read the text that Sis sent you?
Yeah, we talked about it last time also.
Yeah.
All right. And was there a part that's about you?
Like a part that I can't identify me or my work.
Or that you want to say something about, or that your works
speak about. Because I think we had a very nice conversation last time. We were talking about technology, and now you say that you work with data of people, and we're saying because Sis asks me, do you think we live in interesting times? He doesn't believe we live in interesting times. I believe we live in interesting times.
Because, you do.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if in a very positive way, but I think what's happening right now is that we are in a state where technology is influencing so much on us, but we're not aware of it. You know, so for example, the data thing that you say, you know, the data collection of people, we're constantly giving data, you know, to Facebook, to your email, to your bank account. You're constantly saying, the website is coming to you and tells you, for us to access your, we need to access your information, you know? And we just say yes, because we just want it fast and we want it to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening right now, exactly also what you said, people slowly are starting to realize that data, it is important because people can misuse our data. And that's what's interesting for me, because we are in this moment of maybe thinking that it can be important to be aware of this, but we're still being a little bit oblivious to the situation. We don't want to think so much about it. We still want it to be fast. We still want to click it and we give it, you know?
Because if you start thinking about it, you'll notice how...
Yeah, or you get launched to another page, which is not the page that you wanted, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's funny because we are in the middle of it and we still don't see the consequences that we will see in the future. And yeah, it's just people being a little bit, all of us, including myself, not really caring, you know. I had a conversation once with this man and we were talking about shadow profiles from Facebook. Do you know what it is? It's Facebook... You know when you have Facebook and it tells you, there's an option that says find my friends. So Facebook is going to access your phone, actually, and it's going to find all your friends, all the phone numbers and all the emails in your email account that they can get, you know? So they're going to gather all your contacts, and everybody, most of your contacts have also an iPhone, and they have maybe their address somewhere, their phone number. You have maybe a picture of them on your contacts. So Facebook is going to gather all this information and then make a shadow profile of this person. So that for every Facebook user and even non-users, there's a shadow profile.
And by shadow profile, you mean even if you're not listed to Facebook, they'll already make you a Facebook page or something.
It's not like you can see it, but it's in the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because of your phone, because you give everything to your phone.
You give permission, but you're not aware of what direction.
Yeah, and it's funny because let's say you have I have your phone number and you're not in Facebook.
Yeah.
But because I said to Facebook, yes, you can access my contacts, then you are going to be on there, you know? So it's funny how we we accept, we say yes, give me more friends, you know, I want more friends, and then you're actually risking the privacy of other people around you who might not necessarily want to be part of it, you know. So that's I think that's the interesting thing about the times, that we're so oblivious, that we decide not to think about it so much, because it's also scary, you know, to think about it. And then of course the moment that somebody makes a hashtag, I got whatever, somebody attacked me, let's make a riot about it, which is fine, it's a way of communicating with people, but then everybody starts complaining, you know, and it, like, yeah, you need hashtag for revolution, but why can you do your own hashtag, let's say, you know, or like, why can you start it yourself?
And is this something you use in your work, in your art practice?
Lately, it's something I'm focusing, like for this last work I'm not really pinning down people, because I have of course no right, and it's also an assumption, I don't know everyone.
What do you mean by pinning down people? You
don't say
oh, you're all stupid for doing this.
No, because I'm part of it. Also, if I would say people are stupid, then I'm also stupid, but it's just that I don't know everyone, and for me it's easier also to relate it to myself and the closest people to me, and then see, okay, how is this affecting me and how do I behave with it? And of course, I'm aware of it, but I'm part of the sucker group who's going to burn in the internet hell, you know, like I am this. And so my work is based on that, on my experience, on how I'm also part of this, but also like the contradiction of knowing all these things or being aware of all these things, but then still playing the game, you know.
And can you give an example of how you give shape to these thoughts, or?
I can give you an example. Let's say, for example, the use of language, you know, how we speak, how we communicate. I don't know how you feel about it. For me, it's like when you meet someone and you want to tell them you love them, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you don't dare to say I love you. One, because of fear, maybe. Or it doesn't have to be your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It can also be your mother or your father, whoever, you know? It's these words, I love you, that are sometimes so difficult to say because of maybe the reaction of the person, how you're going to feel, how the person is going to feel, how they're going to react. You know, it's a very scary thing, because it's super... Yeah, it's such a big thing to say.
Like delicate.
Know? Yeah, you open so much to that, and... maybe you're afraid to be rejected, but then, for example, it's easier for some people, even for me, to write it in a text message, you know, like, oh yeah, people don't say I love you in emails, but in a text message you say I love you, or even if you're even more extra afraid, you're writing I-L-Y, you know, like abbreviated, you know, and that is easier, and I feel it also myself, like you can just write it and then send it and then put the phone away, you know, but you say it or you abbreviated it, and it's just so funny that you're saying the same thing, but then it's easier to say it, because what is it, you know, is it that there's no face to it, that you can put the phone away and not look at it, or that you don't, the person doesn't have to maybe feel you or look at your face, but then you wanted to say it, so you just say it through a text, you know? And that's, for example, one of my experiences.
And do you use it, like, do you make an artwork about this then? Or
well, now I wrote the book, and it's part of the book right now. If I make maybe a sculpture, for example, it's not really so... direct in that sense, you know, because for me, how I started working on this project, I first wrote the book, and then this is, so it's the same way I've always worked with performances, you know, I always write my texts, I always do my texts, and then because I don't know what's on my mind necessarily, but I know there's something happening, so I write a lot, and through writing I discover where is it going, you know?
So in this book you were writing about technology and how this affects your personal life.
Yeah, my personal life, and also maybe the people around me, you know?
And some of the stories is for example, this I love you story.
Yeah,
all right,
example.
So it's one
and
of the anecdotes.
Yeah.
And the book, is it like a way to kind of make a map out of
my thoughts.
Yeah, like mapping things that technology or data, or like mapping how data or technology affect your life as a person.
Yeah, you could say so. Because it's more like, yeah, figuring out, you know, like I have this thought. It makes me feel kind of like which way it makes me feel, you know, I don't really understand it. So yeah, I do use writing to map what is it that I'm going through, what is it that I want to say maybe, or what I want to tell you, you know, because also a book is, of course, something you can make for yourself, but you make it to share for people to read it. And yeah, maybe it's also to guide you a little bit through my experiences. And it's not really like each chapter is like, okay, now I talk about this, now I talk about this. It's all also a little bit random, and you don't necessarily know immediately that I'm talking about technology. Or, you know, it's, the more you read, the more you will get a feeling of what I'm talking, but I'm not really pinpointing at something specifically, you know? So, yeah.
And if I look at the text, there is like a few words of it say, is our world or view of the world reduced to a screen?
I mean, it can be seen, of course, as a negative thing, you know, like that we are dependent on our screens, our computers, and for sure it's negative. What's negative about it is that the non-control that we have, that we let it have, you know, like the control over our lives that we leave the phones to giving our lives. Like, you know, for example, I think this year I just started with an iPhone. Before I was, and that's also in the book actually, I was having a Nokia, you know, and it was just for text messages and calls, and I was like, no, you know what, fuck the iPhone, I'm not gonna be like the rest, I'm gonna have my own Nokia, and it's super cool, you know, and I'll walk and sometimes my phone would ring and people would see my phone and they're like, wow, you have a Nokia, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's super cool, you know, people are like, oh yeah, cool, yeah, she doesn't have a Nokia, you know, she has a Nokia, blah, blah, blah. And eventually I discovered Instagram and WhatsApp, and, you know, I also realized that all my friends had smartphones, everybody was WhatsApping each other, nobody was writing me, nobody, not like, you know,
yeah, or maybe not
writing me, but I would see how much people are texting, how much people are WhatsApping, how much they're communicating, and I was not part of that, and it really got to the point that it made me think like, oh my god, I have no friends.
Missing out.
No, like, where I have no friends, and my friends don't want to write me, and, you know, it felt so miserable. And and then it was just like, no. Of course, my other voice is telling me, like, no, of course it's not that. Of course, it's because you don't have an iPhone, and everybody has an iPhone, and everyone's to communicate, because it's fast communication, you know? And then I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to have an iPhone, but still my Nokia. So my iPhone is going to be for WhatsApp and Instagram, and my Nokia is going to be for phone calls and text messages, you know? So I was like still like fighting against it. And eventually I gave in completely. My Nokia broke, actually. So I don't know how. It just broke.
So it sold itself.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, fuck it. I'll just give in into the internet hell. And be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Proud and loud, I love it. But I do feel that I'm with my phone the whole time. I sleep with my phone next to me. If there's someone I want to hear from, I'm waiting for the WhatsApp message to come. Oh, did the person write? Oh, no. Did it write now? No. Instagram, I have nothing to do. And I'm just like scrolling down on Instagram, like, you know? And It does shape us, but of course, we have to not let it shape us so much. But it happens, it takes control for sure.
Was the iPhone the reason why it started interesting?
It was a thought. I always had these thoughts about, giving in and being part. And now it's part of my text because I can laugh about it, you know? And I'm also one of the things that I do a lot in my work, and I think that's maybe why it works, or at least my last performance, people were like, wow, you know, like, okay, it's gonna sound weird, but people were like, yeah, wow, I've never seen something like this. You're so much out there. You're really honest and all these things. And
can you tell me something about the performance?
Yeah, the performance for my graduation was, yeah, it was a mix of spoken word and like rambling words and singing and talking to public. And it was really about this fear that I have of making art, you know, that I'm so fucking afraid that it's not gonna work, that the sculpture wasn't gonna like be as pretty enough or good enough or like, you know. And it was really like me telling you, you know, I'm so fucking afraid of this stupid thing that is standing there taking control of my life, and I go to sleep and I still think about this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I really like that honesty to use it. Of course, I use it, I utilize it. And that's the same thing that I'm doing with the book, that I use this honesty, I really open up myself, you know. I talk about love, I talk about my stupid iPhone and how stupid I feel that I still gave in, even though I'm super against it, but I still have it, you know. and that helps me, yeah, actually be a little bit more positive, maybe, I don't know.
And how do you feel about Instagram and Facebook then?
Where I don't have Facebook.
All right.
So, yeah, and because, yeah.
But Instagram is also a way to how cool you are.
Yeah, but I'm a sucker for Instagram. Of course, I want to be cool. But
yeah.
Not very proud. But yeah, I love it. I love the likes.
Yeah, but you're...
And if somebody doesn't like my picture, I'm like, okay. It's just Instagram, you know? But
so you do show your cool side on Instagram. You're not being super honest on Instagram.
No, but in the... I'm telling you, I'm gonna burn with everyone, you know. Like, oh. Yeah, I have my thoughts about it and my standing points, but I'm still at the same height of everyone, you know.
Well, that's honest.
Yeah.
Voor informatie over het werk van Lorena moet je op haar website zijn: www.lorenasolisbravo.hotglue.me. Informatie over Ground tot slot vind je op www.groundfestival.nl. Dank voor het luisteren. Heb je nog vragen over deze podcast? Stuur dan een e-mail naar eveline-dejonge@hotmail.com.